Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbros. That is hims.com/drinkingbros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Drinking Bros. Put grab a fucking drink.
Talking Justin TMT, Cook. Toddlers and Tiaras, Toddlers and Tiara Taylor.
God, who that is everywhere, by the way. I keep getting Justin photos nonstop all day long of you in a tiara.
No, oh my, I haven't seen any of those.
I've gotten
actually.
So many. I'm getting
They're all over the page. It's littered all over the page.
I haven't seen a single one.
They're almost as popular as Harambe.
I haven't seen anybody even call me toddlers and
shut
tiara.
Up. I'll show you right now.
You were somebody cut your face out and put it over JonBenet Ramsey. You are currently on our homepage.
I don't think that's true.
Yes, you are on
our
homepage.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, God, they're everywhere.
I think you guys are just messing with me. I think you're pulling my leg.
TNT Taylor. Toddlers and Tiaras Taylor. We're talking
that's
TNT.
That's not true.
Yes. He's dynamite. Yeah, it is true. You're everywhere. You're our little tiny princess, and you're wearing your little tiny crown everywhere. Where you go. We're proud of you and all you do.
I am not.
Yeah.
Well, I was yelling Justin Peck because I want to give a shout out to Gear 49 tonight because they're partnering with us. Not to mention, they have a Black Rifle Coffee race truck that you've probably seen photos around.
No shit.
Jumping in the air. Like that.
Oh, wow.
So yeah.
That's
and,
a nice thing.
You know,
what a nice
by this
little
time,
thing.
You guys will know that we are giving a razor away called the Hell Razor giveaway for Black Friday.
Shut the fuck up.
No way.
Yeah, we've teamed up with Gear 49 and Justin Peck. Gear 49 is a supplement company. They sell supplements. And Justin is a professional trophy truck and race car driver. And he has come into our realm, and he wants to give a razor away with us.
Look at that. It's all come full circle because you're a little tiny trophy wife. You know, so
I am not you fucking asshole. What do you mean?
You've got
I'm
little,
fucking,
you got little trophies all over your room from winning all those contests.
Who's
going to
be proud
child?
Of me? It's like dragging around a garbage bag full of pudding. Like, yeah, what? What self-respecting gay guy is going to want to show me off?
A garbage bag full of pudding. Oh, I can. It's weird. It's like I know it's heavy too. Like I know it's a heavy drag down the driveway.
Yeah, it's like water. You know, water's heavy, but if you got pudding, that's dense.
Oh gosh, and you're dense. Trying to drag it down to the end of the street for trash day.
He said dense. Oh my god.
Oh, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Yeah. We got a hot one tonight. We got a real big one tonight. You know how this fucking whole slit pig works. We got sponsors who pay for this to be on the air. I don't know how, but they do, and we love them for it. The first one is Haven Lock. Real excited about this one. They came onto the show in October. People have been buying their lock, putting it on their doors, and sending us these clips. If you haven't heard of a Haven Lock, it's kind of fucking awesome. They've got a brand new lock for your door called the Haven Mech. It's a new door lock that is 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. Haven Mech will take over 50 kicks without failing. It prevents break-ins from happening. Use the promo code Drinkin' Bros. You get a special one-time offer for the Haven Mech. And it's only fucking $99. Go to havenlock.com and then
$99 and Hillary can't get your guns.
She can't get your guns. But also people are taking the challenge out there where they're trying to kick in fucking doors to see if they can break it in under 50 kicks, just like Haven Lock says. Cause look, the average lock is about 3 kicks. This one is it says 50. So whoever is out there who can break that fucking record, and they did a huge campaign on Kickstarter. They raised over $100,000. They're veteran owned, based in Nashville, Tennessee. Go to havenlock.com and get the Haven Mech for your door. Keep your family safe. And guess what? If you hear 4 or 5 of those kicks at your front door, you know what you need to grab. You need to grab that Tartarus ordnance.
Tartarus.
Yeah, some home defense ammunition, just the tips.
Yes.
Go to tartarusordnance.com for all your home defense ammunition needs. Also, if you're teaching some tactical classes out there, you can get thousands and thousands of rounds, and they also they sell firearms there, and they're going on a subscription basis soon.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, Ross, if you think about this hard, like our audience and everybody, we know that a lot of them listen to us in their commute and everything like that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like these sponsors are always, it's nice that our sponsors are things that our audience needs.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily needs, but just it's like everybody I know always wants ammunition.
Right.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, you don't
it's a good reminder. It's a good, like, hey, remember you wanted ammunition? You get a discount if you go to this site.
Yeah. And the thing about the, like, I was surprised because I, again, we know those guys. And it's like, I was like, what about those tactical classes where they're just ordering like thousands of rounds? Will you still give them 10% off with a Drink and Rose discount? And he goes, yeah. Yeah. We're honoring it. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. So, look, take them up on their offer. Go to TartarusOrdnance.com. Once again, that's TartarusOrdnance.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of all firearms and ammunition. Next up, you can hear. Did you hear that flying overhead? It sounded like the Strike Force was called in. StrikeForceEnergy.com. God damn it. I'm on it again tonight.
It's like a cast mission on crack.
It really is. It's look, we saw two donkeys drink it, and they've started fighting each other. Donkeys don't fight. They're very docile creatures.
They're very docile, and they started fighting and then fucking.
Yeah, right, immediately after. Yeah. They were all hopped up on Strike Force Energy.
Two dude donkeys just fucking. Fuck donkey,
yeah,
donkey missionary too.
Donkey Mish. It was.
I've watched something like that before.
I know you have. I know you, Rocco. I know you have. The world knows you have. After the pee on the carpet episode.
Oh which, my dude!
That, by the way, yeah, that was the most downloaded episode we've had in the show's history. In the show's history, by the
dude,
way.
Dude, my PSYOP buddies are gonna be pissed that I'm giving away their secrets.
Oh boy! Most downloaded show we've ever had. Jared, people are fucking to your song. I can't believe it.
Wait, I love the stories I keep. I keep getting. I hope this lasts for a while because over 40 females have now written in up to this point. Telling me stories about how they had sex to that song. And it's, dude, it's almost weird because you hear a girl get aggressive, like, and then I took that dick. It was
shit. Yeah.
Am I talking to a girl or a gay guy right now?
Yeah. Look, I tell you what, and for anybody else out there who keeps sending in these videos, send in yourself. Pouring some Strike Force all over yourself while you're doing it. Pour some Strike Force all over yourself to the Bryan Adams song.
We got four videos.
Send that in.
The four videos.
Yeah. Send that in. And look, we love the people from Strike Force. People are using it in creative ways these days. Start pouring it all over your body and go Jared Taylor, Bryan Adams style and send in some vids to us.
Yes.
We'll send them over to Sean Matz and the boys. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of every order there. They also have a subscription and they ship anywhere in the world. Iraq, yes. Iran, you betcha.
Unless you're a contractor in Iraq because you don't get mail right now.
Hey.
Sorry.
Wah.
They stopped the post office for contractors. It's kind of rude.
That's weird.
It's really fucked up.
It's weird.
So now contractors have to like
do they have iPhones?
Ask. They have to ask. What?
Do they have iPhones?
Who?
Contractors?
Yeah.
Well, then fucking get a text message, bitch.
What do you mean get a text? You can't get mail, Rocco.
What do you want for mail besides supplements?
Strike Force, dude.
That means you can't order anything if you're a contractor in Iraq.
Oh, fuck. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Come on, God, Rocco.
I've been drinking way too much tonight. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Jeez. So go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Load up before you go overseas. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 20% off of every single order. Next. Up to our list of hits is WarfighterTobacco.com.
Boom.
WarfighterTobacco.com. They got the finest goddamn cigars in the whole fucking land.
Yes,
they are hand-rolled in the Dominican Republic with Cubano seeds by the liveliest little children you've ever seen. I saw a picture of some kids in a garage rolling up cigars, and a dad had an antenna he ripped off the TV and was tapping him on the shoulder. These fucking cigars are. The kids were shirtless, and they were making cigars. That's why that's when you know you're getting quality. When you're under the gun from a father with a TV antenna in the background, you know you're getting great cigars because they don't want to fuck that up. So go to warfightertobacco.com. Get yourself some cigars. Real men smoke cigars. They do not smoke hookahs. Put them down. They're 100% combat veteran owned.
I mean, what are we at? We've got security in the beginning.
Security.
We've energy got
drinks, ammunition, energy, cigars,
and now cigars. What's left?
Where do you go from there? You go where to the finest novel ever written. You go to At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. If somebody breaks into your door and you're reading that book, guess what? The first thing you're going to do is grab something and try to hit him with it. Throw the book first and then grab all your guns. Load them up with Tartar's ordnance and blow these motherfuckers away. But get At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. It's the bestseller running away with the fucking competition. And it's written by the great Ross Patterson, who is a genius and who has a dick that is longer than his own leg. Get At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed on audible.com, amazon.com, everywhere, so walmart.com. It's everywhere you want to be. I narrate it with a bunch of actors. It's fucking awesome. It's the greatest book of all time. And last but not least, we got Black Rifle Coffee in the house. Don't we, Jared?
Yeah.
Zip, zip, zip.
Zip, zip, zip. Zip,
zip. Zip, zip. Zip, zip. It's like a sip, but you're pepped up and you're like, zip.
Yeah. So go to blackriflecoffee.com. Go to drinkabrospodcast.com. Get yourself some t-shirts. Throw those on. Have a cup of Joe. And you get 20% at old Black Rifle Coffee.
I got a good story. I got a good story for you, Ross, on
that
one.
Warfighter Tobacco, you get 10% off of Drinking Bros as well. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was wearing a Drinking Bros podcast shirt on an airplane, and the like flight wherever you connect into El Paso is always just 50 minutes, whether it's like Dallas or fucking Phoenix or whatever.
Right.
So like I'm on that connecting flight and I'm trying to sleep. And the whole time I just hear this loud, drunk idiot, the whole time just talking loudly about dumb shit like golf. when we finally land, I'm like standing there with my bag and he goes, "Hey, Drinking Bro, can you hand me my bag?" And I look at him and I'm like, "Are you a Drinking Bro?" And he looks at me, he goes, "No, I was going off your shirt." And I go, "Oh, well, then I guess you're a faggot."
What?
Yeah. And I threw him his bag and he got real like uncomfortable because I had like an unshaved beard and I was in a hoodie and I was just like angry.
Did you really say that?
Like, yeah, because at first I was excited, like I was caught off guard, like because I didn't realize I had the shirt on, and so like he goes, "Drinking Bro," like so I got excited, like holy fuck, this guy,
he's a Drinking Bro.
Yeah, I heard him. He's wasted. He's talking about golf. I hated him for an hour, but now I don't hate him anymore because fuck, he's a Drinking Bro. He just goes, "No, your shirt," and I go, "Oh, fuck, well, you're a
so
faggot."
Fucking funny. Yeah.
Everybody was just kind of like uncomfortably not looking at me, and he didn't know. He was smaller, too. He was about like 5'1".
Well, let's be honest, Jared. That's a word you don't hear too much in public anymore.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I didn't mean it like that.
No, I know. But unless they know you, unless they know Toddlers and Tiara Taylor, they don't know that, you know.
That's not my nickname.
Yeah. They don't know that you're not using a derogatory term. You're just calling people in the middle of the airport. It'd be a little jarring where you're like, "Oh, wow, is that a lover's quarrel?"
No, no, no.
That would be the first thing I think of.
The aisle of the plane. So, I mean, only, yeah. I mean, I said it loudly. So only about 20 people were in earshot.
Yeah.
Like, but he just was like, the whole thing, I just got angry real quick. Like, once like, he showed me that we didn't have a connection, and then I went back to being annoyed with him, and I just got angry.
Oh, I know our little bag of pudding's got a short fuse.
I do sometimes.
I know you do.
Are tiny little things that will set me over the edge.
Oh, yeah.
And people will be like, "Oh, fuck, what did I do?
Oh, he's going crazy."
Did you, let me ask you this. Like, have you ever had like a weird, like a job growing up, other than the military, where you had to do shit like that and talk
to
real
dude,
people
I got,
like this
I got,
in the world?
So I was working at McDonald's for a while, and then
nice.
I got fired.
Does something little like that set you off? Like, because I can't see you, like, working in a normal environment like that, like for a full day.
No, I couldn't.
Without you
I couldn't
just
now.
Burning the place
I mean,
down.
That's the one thing that, like, I think combat does to you is it makes you, like, you get so used to being able to retaliate with death. Like, when you get pissed off, you get to retaliate by killing somebody. Like, that's right. Kind of a cool feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the real world, like, if somebody
they
comes
hit you
up
with
to
an
TNT,
IED, it's like,
yeah.
I'm so angry right now. We're bombing that whole fucking area of the
Everybody.
City. All of it. Like, and then you get, like, thrown into this psychological, like rhythm where it's like, okay, when you shoot at me, I'm angry, and now I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And then you come home, and you're not allowed to do that anymore. I had an incident in a gas station in Fort Bragg. Like, right coming back from Iraq. A dude was just rude to me, and it was like, I immediately went to, I'm going to fucking kill you right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you can't do that back here. I forgot. Oh,
man. Yeah. So what was your worst job then? How did you put up with this?
I don't know worst job. Like,
McDonald's?
McDonald's was fun, like, but I got fired over a big embezzlement fucking hoopla.
Were you stealing, or were you in on it?
No, I found.
Were you the Hamburglar? Were you stealing cheeseburgers?
No, I started asking questions, and I was paid in cash to not ask any more questions.
Whoa.
Every night.
Whoa, whoa!
Yeah,
what were
it was
the,
nice
what,
though. I bought a lot of car parts.
Yeah. What were the questions, by the way?
Well, I was just I worked in the grill, so and nighttime on a base, and I would see a lot of items pop up. Like that would tell me to make them, and then they disappear. So I'd be like, "Hey, that stuff just disappeared without me clearing it out."
Oh,
and they're
so
like,
"They're just shady."
They're like, "Oh no, I still need you to make those things." And I'd be like, "Okay." And then I was like, finally, after it happened constantly, I was like, "Hey, is the machine broken? Like, do you want me to tell Rob the next morning that the machine might be?" And they're like, "No, here's $200. We need
shut
you to just
up.
Do what we yeah, say, and then up. That's it." Like. So then I got fired and roped into that whole thing. And they actually interrogated me first because I was so young. I was only 17, like brand new 17. They were like, oh, he's going to roll over. And I just played stupid. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't, but I'm really hungry right now.
That's classic. What about you, Rocco? You've had every job under the sun. Is there anything like that that's similar that happened to you? It was like, hey, man, you're just going to shut the fuck up.
No, man, I've never done anything like that. I actually used to be a store manager for Champ Sports, and I had a guy stealing from me at one point, so that fucking sucks, so it's kind of funny how that all goes. But
How'd you catch him?
Dude, they did the audits, man, and the fucking I was like $100,000 short, me and my buddy. We were co-managers at a fucking, at the Champs. We're like, wait a minute. Well, this dude, and we kind of thought there was something shady, but we gave this kid a chance. He was running the
Champ Sporting
the
Goods?
Yeah, he was running the shoes in the warehouse.
I worked at a Champ Sporting Good in high school.
Nice, dude. Yeah. So what this kid was doing was putting a lot of these Jordans and all these rare shoes, and he's throwing them out with the trash, but he was actually putting them in his car and slanging them later.
I had a similar situation at my Champs.
No shit.
Yeah, it was high-end bicycles, like 10 speeds that were super expensive. And, they would ring up another tag and then roll those out the back, and I was like, wait, what? I didn't get it either. And somebody else took a pool table one night. And what happened was is the managers, figured it out. They were going to walk these guys in, and Champs ended up going out of business. So,
yeah, some crazy shit. So that's just one of my jobs that just sucked hearing that happen. I ended up getting transferred to a different Champs and then became a manager somewhere else. And everything was good. But, the worst job I ever had was my brother was working for a fire master company. So what they did was pretty much fire extinguishers and all that other bullshit. But one of the other things you have to do is scrape the grease out of some of the fast food restaurants, the vents. And that's to stop it being a fire hazard. Yeah. And so we'd be suited up in these full-on fucking jumpsuits and with scrapers. And we're scraping the fucking vents, man. And I'm telling you what, that grease, you'll fucking have it on your hands and your nose, the smell of it, for fucking weeks. It was stupid as fuck. And we're doing it, and you only work when the fucking restaurants are closed, right? Because people, once they close it, then you go in there and do all the cleaning and shit. So then they can open up in the next morning and no one's there. And so you're working in the middle of the fucking night. You're scraping goddamn grease. It's a fucking mess. It was the worst job I've ever done.
It's gross.
Yeah, it was the worst job. Exactly.
I used to have to clean all the grease traps and stuff at McDonald's.
It's fucking terrible.
It was disgusting.
Man, I was fired from Champs, actually, Rocco.
No shit.
Yeah, it was a great story, actually. I came back from I was partying at University of Georgia. For those of you who don't know out there, from Atlanta, Georgia, originally. I was partying at University of Georgia the night before. My girlfriend was a year older than me, and she had just went to school there. And my mom was like, look, you can go up there and, you know, party or whatever, but just do not miss work the next day. And I was like, all right. I had a 9 a.m. shift on a Saturday, and we were raging at University of Georgia on a Friday night.
That's in Athens, correct?
Correct. It is a
great town. I have
great
raged
town.
In Athens. 2003, when I was in airborne school.
No way. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Really, yeah. really we fun fucking Athens. Town. Anyways, in the middle, like literally after a night of like entire drinking, my buddy who had worked with me at Champs, he looks over and he was like, and it was like 7 at this point, and he goes, oh shit, dude, we got to be to work in like 2 hours. We hadn't gone to bed or anything. So another friend of ours drove us home, and it was a 2-hour drive from Athens to Atlanta. So by the time I was able to go roll up to Champs right when the doors opened, throw my shirt on, but I smelled like 10,000 pounds of beer at that point. So anyways, Saturday mornings, it's dead. Like right when the store opens, you have a couple hours before, you know, things get popping. And so I told my buddy, I was like, hey, I'm going to go. We had a big elaborate hunting section. I don't know if you had that, Rocco, at yours.
No, we didn't. Dude.
Oh, we did. So we had full tents set up and like makeshift, like fake fires and like grills and all the stuff, sleeping bags. So I told my buddy, I was like, hey, I'm going to go sleep in one of those tents in the hunting section. Just get on the loudspeaker and just say, Ross, we need you, you know, to the back, to the bicycle section. If a manager is coming or whatever. And I was that was going to be our code, if you will. And hours go by. I don't hear anything except for the sounds of like 10 voices outside the tent. I woke up inside the tent because I had zipped myself up too. Like I was really fucking sleeping in there. I mean, I was out cold. I've got sleepy lines on my face the whole nine. I'm drooling like I'm you know, kind of sweating because it's hot inside this tent. I unzip the tent and I go out. My manager, the owner of the store, all the employees, my buddy, everybody there is standing around and they're just like, what the fuck? I looked at my watch.
Who cares?
I'd been asleep for 2.5 hours inside the tent in the hunting section at Champs.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
why do we have to have a spectacle about it?
That's what I said. So the guy was like, the manager was like, I want to see you in my office. And, you know, I walked into his office and I have the same attitude as you, Jared. So, you know, I'm in his office and I just look at the guy and I'm like, look, you can go ahead and save the angry speech. Like, I make fucking $8 an hour. I'm just going to go get another job across the street that pays $8 an hour, you know? And I didn't even let him give his glory speech of like, do you know what I did growing up? Do you know that I'm the manager of a Champ Sports in Atlanta? Like, I didn't even let him get to that fucking high and mighty. And I was just, I peaced, you know? There was a sports authority
across the
street. That was great
because one of the dudes that was on the night crew did not work that night that they came in and locked the doors and fired us all. So we told him the next evening, hey, when you go into work, you're going to get fired. So as soon as he shows up, I go with him. I drive him to work and I'm in the lobby because I'm there to get my last check and everything. And the manager, Rob's like in my office now. And I see Aaron go back in there and he shuts the sliding glass door. I see Aaron speaking. And then I see Rob get completely red and he just stands up and goes, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out right now. Just get the fuck out. And when Aaron comes back, I'm like, dude, what the fuck did you just say to him? And when he sat down, he goes, before you say anything to me, how can you prove that you didn't offer me sexual favors to save my job?
Holy shit.
And Rob just freaked out. Like,
so funny.
Get the fuck out.
That's a great one.
So fucking funny.
That's a great one. One of my faves is freshman year of college. There was one summer. I dated this girl. She fucking spent like every dollar I had. Lover, sweet girl, but spent every dollar I had. So in the summer, you had to move out of the dorm and get your own place. And I was $100 short on the rent of this place that I was renting for the summer. And so I drove, and I had 5 days to come up with this $100. I drove up and down, like, all over campus and everywhere to find a job. The only place that was hiring and offering cash up front was a place called United Skates of America. It was a roller rink.
That's funny.
So I was a skate referee, at a roller rink. Like, I wore the jersey.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I wore the jersey, the whistle, the Janet Jackson microphone headset. So here's the thing. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, dude, no problem. They're giving $100 in cash away for this? Fucking easy. Dude, what you don't realize is you're skating for 8 hours straight. We only got like a 15-minute break. So it was harder than I thought. Like, I had blisters, the whole shit after the first day. So I started wearing these thick wool socks, right? And I think I've got it down at this point. I'm feeling pretty good. By week three, I'm in like the greatest shape of my life. Skating 8 hours a day on those old school skates, not like blades either, like the four orange wheels. You know the ones that I'm talking about, like the brown skates with the four bright orange wheels. And there was a kid's birthday party that came in on a Friday night at like 6 o'clock, this 10-year-old's birthday party. And my manager comes over to me and he goes, Ross, are you ready to put on the suit? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of new here. I don't know what the suit is. And he brings me back in the back. There's a giant dinosaur costume called Skatosaurus Rex. And it's got like a 10-foot long tail that drags around with it. It's hot. It's dirty. It looks like it hasn't been washed since like 1976. And he goes, look, you've got to do the hokey pokey in this dinosaur costume. And then the chicken dance, and then present this child with his cake. And then you can go change out of it or whatever. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, I don't really feel like doing that. And he was like, well, you don't really have a choice. But I'll come get you in like, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. So like every like 2 minutes, he was coming over the headset being like, okay, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 8 minutes. Now it's go time. It's time to be Skatosaurus Rex. And I was like, hey, man, I'm not putting on the fucking costume. Like, dude, this job doesn't pay enough. Like, I got my $100 in cash. I'm not doing it. And he was like, well, you have to. You're going to lose this job. And he goes, it's my way or the highway. And I was like, awesome. I'm going to take Highway 71 South back to campus, and you can go fuck yourself. So I took off my skates and put them on the counter. The beauty of it was this guy at this point in his life is in his late 40s. He's a manager of a skating rink, and there's nobody else working. He's fat or whatever. He had to put on the fucking costume, the Skatosaurus Rex, and somehow do the hokey pokey and the chicken dance and give this kid his cake. I would have paid every last dollar I have in my bank account to see that fat fucker in this Skatosaurus Rex costume give this kid his cake. But I never got that chance. Never got that chance. Those are my two favorite I got fired stories.
I got fired from Coca-Cola.
Whoa. Like the
drink.
Like corporate?
I used to stock the shelves. So I'd show up and I'd stock the shelves at two times during the day. So one time around 6 o'clock after the rush, and then another time like 2, 3 in the morning. Just by the morning, it has to be fully stocked and ready to rock.
That's gotta be a grueling job, I would imagine, right? You're lifting.
Dude, they paid so good, but I was fucking smoked.
I bet, man. I see those guys, you know, rolling in and out of gas stations. You're like, fuck, man, the money must be really good because that looks like a fucking hard job.
Dude, it paid really well at the time. But what happened was, like, when I would show up at like 2, 3 in the morning, I'd go hang out with my buddies. We'd be partying. And then I'd be like, fuck, I got to go do this job real quick. So I'd show up to fucking these supermarkets. I'd stock the shelves. And the one time I ended up getting fired, well, I quit before they could fire me. I dropped like 4 fucking pallets of Coca-Cola. And it was 2-liter bottles. So when these fuckers fell, they went from one side of the fucking warehouse to the other side of the warehouse. There's two fucking liter bottles everywhere. And I was like, well, fuck this. And I just got in the car and left. And I called him and said, hey, you might need to go check on that. It's a fucking mess. I'm sorry.
I quit.
And you were bounced out of there. But you've had a ton of jobs, though, in general.
I've done everything. I've done from Sports Mart to freaking to that to I was an umpire. I worked at Starbucks, Texas Roadhouse. I was a bouncer. I was a bartender for a day and got fired.
Were you a barista at Starbucks?
I was, dude. I was. I did it for in Hollywood, the City Walk. I was actually one of the
shut
openers
the fuck
of
up.
That.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was one of the openers of that. I was doing. While
that's
I was
crazy,
baseball.
Man. I could have rolled in there and ordered a coffee from you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people.
We could have been in Athens together.
Yeah. We could have been Rajing together all these times and we don't even know it. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. By the way, did you see that I posted on Instagram? Somebody Her name is Valerie. She sent me a painting of Danny Trejo today. I thought
of
you.
That was a beautiful painting.
Dude, that thing was amazing. That thing's amazing.
That was a beautiful painting. I'd be proud of that painting.
Are you serious?
Yeah, go to my Instagram. It's at STJames, right, STJames on Instagram. Jared wants you to know that, by the way. Kidding.
Hey, by the way, I got some messages that were like, that was the funniest shit I've ever heard when you said we have one more sponsor and it was your IG.
Dude, that's funny. Oh,
Jared Taylor's fucking Instagram.
Oh, that was actually Timothy Haywood. Timothy Haywood sent
really?
Me that text.
That's yeah, so he was funny. Like,
dude,
that's
awesome.
That was fucking funny.
That's awesome. What's hey, I know we got a bunch of gifts sent to the P.O. box. What were some of the cooler ones that came through? I wasn't there, obviously. I didn't get to see him.
Dude, my favorite so far, and still is my favorite, is I got the Fernando Valenzuela jersey from Mike Russ. That was
shut
so
the
dope.
Fuck up. Did you really?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, that's a dope gift.
Yeah, that was a freaking one of the best gifts I've ever received. We get all kinds of cool stuff. We get bottles of liquor.
No, we have something awesome sitting on the table right now.
What?
The Pentagon flew us a flag over the Pentagon. And
really?
Sent it to us with a letter from one of the directors of an entire program inside the Pentagon that said, congratulations on all the success that Range 15 and all the laughter that it's brought to the community.
Damn.
Here is a flag flown over the Pentagon just for you guys.
Dude, that's badass. Are you going to get that shadow box? Are you going to hang that up?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get that made into a whole thing. We're going to have both of the, because they gave us the letter and then a certificate that shows the date that it was flown on the Pentagon flagpole and everything. So I'm going to have all of that arranged because that would be one of Art 15's prized possessions.
Yeah, for sure, man. Somebody sent me one from Afghanistan. It was flown over Afghanistan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing, man. The listeners and supporters of the show are fucking phenomenal. And they, by the way, they get really.
And we have a big building now. We need things for the walls, everybody.
I know, because you guys are going to Salt Lake. You guys are leaving there, relocating. And I saw you. Did you give away the desk? Did you give away the Drinking Bros desk?
I did.
Who got that? Who is the lucky recipient?
You know what's
that?
Great is this is even a good story. In this is the soldier on Fort Bliss that I just put it out in Drinking Bros El Paso. Dude was like, dude, I would love to have that. I was like, all right, it's yours. Like, come over and grab it. He told his platoon sergeant, he was like, hey, I got to go pick up these tables. The guy was like, we got stuff to do. You can wait till later. He goes, no, look. And he shows the picture. He goes, I'm getting these from JT at the house. Like, I'm getting the Drinking Bro fucking tables. Platoon sergeant goes, get the fuck out of here, Pix, or it didn't happen.
That's no so way.
That's what's even
funnier. I saw those pics and I was like, dude, who are the guys? Yeah.
Just to even like the fact that he gets off early because
oh, that's so good. But then I will say this, you crushed that set. I was surprised you gave that up. Are you gonna build a new one?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I learned on that set. There was a couple things I'd changed now.
Yeah, that was a gorgeous set. We all could have signed that and just...
Actually, Matt and Rocco's signatures are on the top of it, and they were ecstatic that that was there.
That's like, fucking awesome. Them. That's fucking awesome.
And there's a dick drawn on the top of it. I was like, that dick Rocco drew, and there's Matt Best's signature, and there's Rocco's signature. Look, your fucking table signed. He's like, this is the greatest gift ever.
It really is, though, because it's a nice table. It's a nice...
Well, I also told him, I was like, over 75 podcasts have been recorded sitting at that thing. Like, yeah, in 4 years, if this thing's still huge, like... You're at the first 70.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's a big one. It's a big one. Yeah. The listeners of the show are amazing. Like everything we do, they'll follow up on that miniature donkey thing, by the way, somebody hit me up on, when I was talking about how the difficulty
really?
I had. Yeah. I had a, you know, that one show, I was like, man, I had a hard time renting miniature donkeys out of New York. There was a place in Arizona that they were giving them away like 400. The shit went viral. I don't know if it was because of the show or not, the Drinking Bros or not, but now they have to have a raffle system and rules to buy these miniature donkeys. And it says that, you know, you should get two. You can't just get one miniature donkey because they get super lonely. Or you should have a nice big dog that they could, you know, run around the yard with, because they prefer to have another animal with them. And I got hit with that like 30 times on my personal Facebook page. and I was shocked about it. So I don't know if we started the miniature donkey craze, if you will, but the listeners picked up on it, and those are everywhere. But it got me to thinking about getting another animal, because I showed that story to my wife. She wants chickens. She wants chickens out in the yard. And I was like, I don't want fucking chickens.
No, I heard that fucking stink, dude.
They stink, and aren't they loud? Like, or am I thinking?
I don't know. I think roosters are loud, but I don't even rooster, know. I just heard they stink.
Yeah, because
goats are cool.
Her brother has these chickens, and they have fresh eggs, and that, look, the eggs are amazing. But whatever, I'd rather buy them from the store. I don't need chickens running around my fucking house. Because then there's like a coop, and then you've got to feed them and all that other shit. I don't want any of that to go down.
No.
Like whatsoever. Is there anything, Jerry, is there anything your wife has asked you? Hey, I really want this.
No, not really. She never really asked me for shit. But she did say, you know, she wants to do a miniature wedding like next year. And I said, can I deliver my vows on a miniature donkey? And she said yes if I can pick your outfit and hairstyle.
Oh,
so,
wow! Yeah, you, because you have a mohawk currently, right?
I do. But she likes that. She likes that. I don't know what she'd pick for the wedding, though. I really don't know.
Oh, interesting.
The fact that she said, "Well," she goes, "Why are you turning my fun day into a joke?" And I go, My immediate response was, because what better way to deliver my love my way? And she was like, touche.
Oh, okay.
You would need to be on a miniature donkey.
Did you guys not have a big wedding? Did you?
We never had a wedding at all.
Really? Did you guys just go to the courthouse?
Yeah, it was a courthouse.
Okay.
And then we had one scheduled, and then she lost her hair. And then I got in a big fight with a big photographer in Louisiana for a while, and I scared him, which he still talks about this situation to this day in his workshops, because I had two of my friends take his workshop and go, dude, I think he's talking about you when he talks about, like, when his shit got burned down. I was like, yeah, he probably is. I'm still not done with him yet, though. I'm still not done with him.
I have a question.
There is one person in my life that I will seek full revenge on, it is him. There's nobody else that has pissed me off that bad
than a photographer in Louisiana.
I have spent the last 4 years planning my revenge against him that will be not only legal, but I will see his soul leave his body.
Jeez.
I've got the fucking solution now. And I just want him to know he better still be afraid of me, because I'm still thinking about it.
What was your question, Rocco? You were about to say something.
Yeah, because my kids right now, my daughter's texting me right now. She's terrified right now of these fucking clowns. What's the deal with these fucking clowns that are popping up everywhere right now?
You know, they're trying to figure it out. It started off in, it's either, I believe it was South Carolina, South or North Carolina, actually. And these fucking clowns were popping up. And initially, it started off as a thing of like, oh, hey, we're driving by, and there's this clown, and they had like a creepy face,
right?
And then it's kind of spread to where, you know, clowns have been actively chasing people. So not only you know, are they showing up, but then they're chasing people. Then there was a few with knives, I mean it's escalated to the point where people are beating the shit out of these clowns in public. And I'm gonna be honest with you, clowns have always been creepy.
Scary as shit. Do you have a clown chasing you? Ugh.
Yeah. In today's fucking world, I don't think you can just roll through the streets as a clown and expect people to be cool with it anymore. Like, if you're not inside a Chuck E. Cheese, I don't know where you're going clown-wise. That requires you to walk down a dark alley or a street at night, or wherever you're headed.
all these fucking kids are putting shit out that these clowns are kicking in people's doors and they're fucking kidnapping kids. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you. I was like, dude.
There was a movie, too, that came out that was called Clown by Eli Roth, who is actually best friends with Quentin Tarantino and fucking Robert Rodriguez.
There are certain, like, there are those, these are the YouTubers I don't respect. Like, the prank guys.
Oh, God, I hate
them. Because there's, I'm not a there's big certain prank things guy. That, like, again... If you did not live in Venice Beach, California, you would not do what you're doing because you would get fucking a rope wrapped around your neck and we'd drag you with our truck.
Yes.
Like if you come up with a fucking chainsaw or a hammer, I'm just going to shoot you in both of your fucking temples.
Yeah, it's like you watch those shows on like True TV, you know, pranksters, and it's, you know. Yeah. Dudes it's in their mid-40s committing like, pranks. Yeah, you're just like, man, I would kick the fuck out of you if you did that to me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there is no, oh, bro, it's just a prank. No, cool, dude. Now you're getting beat up.
Yeah.
So now you're going to learn a lesson. You're going to learn a lesson. I'm going to teach you a lesson, you fucking idiot.
I've never found, pranksters, like, really funny. Like, they were, you
especially,
know.
Especially, no, dude, the worst ones, too, if you watch some of these fucking stupid-ass YouTube channels, ones with dudes with families. If you come, if you just approach me at my car while I'm loading a car seat and anything, like, I'm already ready to kill you because I don't like being approached at my car.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. you don't come up to cars. Houses is weird.
Dude, like, when you're in a parking lot and a fucking beggar or something starts beeline in the car, I roll down the window, I go the other way.
Dude,
I don't play this game.
I don't play it either.
Go the other way.
Yeah.
So, I will fucking draw on you right now. I don't want you coming near my fucking vehicle right now telling me about how you're out of gas and your fucking kids are somewhere and blah, 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 blah. Get the fuck away from my vehicle.
I also get weirded off when people come to the door, come to the front door, and they ring the doorbell and they're like,
I don't like that either.
Hey, man, we're selling you this, or do you need a thing? And it's like, man, that door-to-door shit,
motherfucker.
Yeah, that door-to-door shit ended years ago. Let's not do it. And so recently, like, because this just happened to me probably, 3 days ago, somebody came into the door and was, you know, actively knocking on the door. And, dude, again, grab my fucking piece, go to the door, and I'm like, and it's this guy, chipper as fuck, hey. And, you know, he doesn't know I've got a fucking gun behind me. And I'm like, what's up, man? You know, you immediately go into that, what's up, man? What the fuck can I do for you? And it's like, just want to know if you're voting in these, you know, in these elections. There's a, you know, he was talking about the voting for Governor Pat McCrory. And I was like, and I felt bad for the dude because it was like, you know, he's out, you know, actively trying to be a good citizen to get people to vote. Here I am with a fucking handgun behind me because, you know, I'm thinking it could be a clown or something.
Dude, how funny would it be to just rip the door open, grab him by the scruff, put him on his knees and be like, who sent you, Russia or China? Russia or China, motherfucker? Russia or China? You have two words that are coming out of your mouth in the next couple minutes. Russia or fucking China?
You know who that just happened to last night, by the way?
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. I could not believe that. I thought she was too rich to get robbed. I really did.
How did they rob her?
Gunpoint. They dressed as police officers, two guys dressed as police officers, came in, ran up the stairs, fucking duct taped her ankles together.
Put her in the bath.
And a zip tie. They zip tied her hands, duct taped her ankles together, and then gagged her, threw her in the bathtub, locked the bathroom door, and then stole all of her jewelry, which was like, it was valued over $11 million. And they were in and out in 6 minutes.
Damn,
dude! Kanye was in was doing a concert in New York, and they got footage of it. He mid show, you could see a guy because somebody caught it with a camera phone. You could see a guy come up to him and was like, "Yo, man, I got to talk to you." He's like, "No, not now." And he's in the middle of like a flawless version of Heartless. And the guy was like, "Yo, I need to talk to you." And you see Kanye walk over, still singing, puts his head down. The guy whispers in his ear, and Kanye just goes, stop the fucking show. Stop the fucking show. Music cuts out and he goes, I'm sorry, I got a family emergency, I gotta leave. And then that's it. The whole stage goes black. Everybody's like, wait, what the fuck? You knew something big had happened. And you were like, wait, damn, what is it? Dude, I always thought Kim Kardashian and like Kanye and like Jay-Z and them, I thought they were too rich to rob. And the reason why I say that is now everybody's going to be looking for these motherfuckers who robbed them, because they're not going to let,
yeah,
for tourism's sakes. Like, because this happened in Paris to Kim Kardashian. They're not going to let Kim Kardashian get robbed in Paris and somebody get away with that. Like, they will find them. Not only that, but the you know, one of the pieces was that ring that Kanye gave her, that, you know, $5 or $6 million ring. How the fuck are you going to hawk that? It's a one of a kind thing. You know, yeah, where that came from. It's Kim Kardashian's. The only thing you could possibly do is buy it and just stare at it in your house and tell your buddies you got Kim Kardashian's ring.
Some people do, though. Like,
I know.
Like, some rich motherfuckers, like, the same thing goes for...
With art.
You know, the guy that bought the George Zimmerman's fucking pistol.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
like,
you're right.
Some rich motherfucker will be like, that's funny to me. I mean, that would be funny to me. If I was rich as fuck, I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy Kim's ring.
Well, look, you bought OJ's jersey. You bought OJ Simpson's jersey, so...
That's funny.
I know you'd be...
Dude,
you'd be
I can imagine, though... Those guys have, like, they have money. I could imagine what you could do if you find out who it is with just the money you have. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because people are going to roll over on you real quick.
Real quick. Right. So, like, already, just in, you know, it's been a few days, but since this happened, I think I said last night, but it's been a few days. Already, a couple people are saying, starting to roll, and they were like, look, it's an inside job.
Inside job.
And they're saying, it wasn't her security. But they're saying that two things. It was either somebody in the place that she was staying had tipped him off, or somebody in the area had known they were there, and they said to follow them on Snapchat, which this gets into a whole nother world of fuckery where you're like, oh man, I mean, you can track every single second of her life virtually on Snapchat.
Yeah, social media.
Yeah. So it's I will give it over under 2 weeks before these guys are caught.
Jeez.
That's my guess. That's just my personal guess. I think she's too rich to rob, and they will get them.
Oh yeah, because as soon as Kanye or her or anybody says, "Hey, here's the bounty or here's the reward,"
yeah,
there isn't a fucking soul those idiots can hide from at that point.
Dude,
yeah,
that's fucking.
But yet another black eye for Paris, you know. That city's been, that city's just been overrun, dude, with all, you know, with the terrorism, and now Kim Kardashian's getting held up at gunpoint. Like, fuck, Paris was awesome.
Nobody wants to go to Paris.
No, nobody wants to go. Trump was talking about that. He was like, dude, nobody wants to go there anymore. And it's true. Like, it's weird. It's weird because, like, Paris is, like, the greatest. It was. Now fucking Kim Kardashian's getting taped and thrown into bathtubs. Yeah.
It's just rough.
Yeah.
Do they have bodyguards or something at all times? Or I guess they don't.
They
anymore?
No, they do. And I guess the bodyguard went to, I guess her sisters were at a club down the street. And so the bodyguard walked, you know, took Kim Kardashian home, put her inside, and was like, hey, I'm going to go, you know, protect your sisters at the club. So he was at the club. Why they don't have more and like armed guards and shit, I don't get it.
You can't afford more fucking than like, all right, send a guard with the girls and leave a guard at the house.
Yeah, I mean, but when they got her out of there, they had, you know, machine guns and shit. Like, they'd called in the National Guard on that. Like, when Kim Kardashian gets robbed, it's you call in the fucking army, you know? Like, the French army was
fucking,
there.
The reality is, Brian, she's going to be fucking terrified for the rest of her life from that experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you can imagine
what it was going through her head. She's dead. You know what I mean? You're getting killed.
And again, when you live your entire life on Snapchat, because I think, and I don't, you would know better than me, Rocco, because you use Snapchat. Do you think they pay her? Because she's always on fucking Snapchat, and like, she has her own apps and shit. Like, she's on social media every second of the day.
I would bet she's getting something for every time she snaps.
Right?
Yeah, she's got a huge following. Dude.
Yeah, so
I don't know how people sit there and pay attention to the whole fucking story, because you can only record for so long. I get tired of listening to people's stories because you have to keep pressing it. But she has fucking followers, man.
I know. That's what I like about Instagrams. At least it just rolls to the next one. It's like, oh, all right, cool. Yeah. You're done. There's your story.
Jeez.
There's your life story. And by the way, that's our night story. We'll wrap it up with that. And we'll get to the drinking bro of the week. This one was submitted by Joseph Nichols. He says, I've got a nomination for drinking bro. His name is Claude Martinez. Today is Claude's birthday. Claude's still alive. is an old, gritty Vietnam vet. He was an engineer officer attached to the 1st Cavalry. During his time in Vietnam, he was awarded the Bronze Star. Claude also helped organize and sell out a screening of Range 15 in Illinois and is a big fan of the Drinking Bros crew. Yeah, really? Dude.
That's cool and shit. He's from Vietnam, and he got a Bronze Star when it was hard to get a Bronze Star.
Hell yeah. Way to go, dude. Way to go. Cheers to Claude. Cheers to Joseph for submitting it. Cheers. And once again, we'll remind everybody, the stories can be happy, sad, life, death. It doesn't matter. Like, Drinking Bros are Drinking Bros. Same with the Broettes. You can submit any story you want as long as it's about another Drinking Bro, somebody you're proud of.
The Broettes have had some lovely stories lately.
Good ones.
God,
they have. They really have.
I saw some Drinking Bro violations in there. We can get into that on a whole episode.
Jeez. I must have missed those.
I heard that their stories are worse than ours.
They're great. It's so fun to read some of that shit.
Girls are fucking disgusting.
Holy shit.
like for real. Like if you talk to any girl, like to a woman, they'll just tell you straight up. They're like, dude, we're fucking disgusting. And I was like,
But you know what? They're way more secretive. Girls will not tell their friends.
They're secretive, guys, but they're more disgusting.
Guys will not tell their friends immediately.
Yeah.
Like, girls will do disgusting, horrible things, and then that'll be, they can live with themselves just by never sharing what atrocious act they just conquered. Like, whereas guys are like immediately like, oh my God, I have to tell you.
Jesus.
I tell you what, I once broke out. This one girl who was a friend of somebody I used to date long, long, long time ago told me a disgusting story about her, and I could never shake it, so I broke up with her. She was like, hey, you know your girlfriend is the queen of the car fart game. And I was like, what the fuck is that? I was like,
dude,
girls don't fart. And she was like, oh yeah, they do. And they're sick. And I was like,
and she's the queen.
And I was like, well, why is she the queen? She was like, she has the nastiest, most disgusting farts. And then she always drives. So she puts the child lock on right after she farts so nobody can roll down the windows. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
Oh my.
Why did you just...
I could not know that about somebody I was having sex with.
I couldn't do it after that.
I would feel it in my mouth.
Yeah.
I would feel it in my mouth.
In your clothes. So, and it was like, or on the drive over. Me. Like, you know, on the drive over to your house. So it was just like, Jesus. Of course it doesn't bother you.
Rocco's like, I'm going to put a giant chocolate cake on the counter and I want you to fart on the cake.
Fart on the cake. He's like, if here's a good test on your first date.
Well, you're
date,
a medic,
you fart,
too. You're a medic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a good test. If you can fart in front of your date in the first date and she laughs, you got it yourself.
I don't think you should try that. I don't think that's good dating advice.
That doesn't. That's not.
No, that is not good dating advice.
Because if they laugh, you're like, well, I could take her places. She likes she likes to laugh at farts.
Or she's just as
nobody that is
as
out there
are.
Dating should follow this advice.
No, like zero people nobody. Should follow this advice.
No.
Zero.
I fart on the first date.
I would never fart. That's a shirt.
It is
that's a
shirt.
Drinking bro shirt. I fart on the first date.
I fart on the first date.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
The worst was always when you were drinking beer all night and then you took a chick home or went home with a chick.
Oh, and you and had then, bubble guts. And you're
oh
trying
my
to,
God.
I've
you're
slipped,
in a hotel
yeah,
room.
And I've slipped
fucking...
a fart out accidentally in the middle of the night, like, shit. I hope she didn't hear. And then I'm like, oh my God, it smells. And then you're like, fucking trying to waft the fucking sheets. Yeah.
You just want to get out of there as soon as possible.
And then you go to the
so
first,
could,
like, fucking
so you
McDonald's.
Could just shit.
Yeah, you go to the freaking McDonald's. just pops just out of your ass. Yeah. Just fucking plasters this fucking.
The worst is when you're getting bombed on an airplane. Like, you're 30,000 feet up, and just somebody's just cheesing them, dude, right in front of you. And, like, it's just, you don't know where it's coming from either because you're all so closely, like, packed in. You're like, who is fucking bombing me right now?
I like blasting people like that, like those stinky, silent ones. And I'm just, I'm the person to be like, oh, come on.
Dude.
A
few weeks ago on the flight back from New York, I was so angry. This guy had just bombed one right. He was right in front of me at the counter, like the check-in where you fucking weigh in your bags and you give them to him. And he just crushed one and walked away. And I was like, this fucking this goddamn dirt bag. It was like a Filipino, this fat little Filipino. And I was like,
That's an odd combo.
Yeah. Oh, so, he kind of gave like a sheepish smile as he walked away. And I was like, motherfucker. So anyways, cut to, it's an hour and a half later. I get on the plane and he's sitting right fucking next to me. I'm in an aisle seat. He's in the other aisle seat next to me. Probably about 10 minutes into the flight, dude, before the stewardesses could get up, where he thought he could get away with it, he fucking just drops another Hiroshima in my fucking face. And I go, hey, bro, hey, man, you're going to have to fucking zip that up or fucking sew it together. Sew your ass cheeks together. I was like, I can't stand that stink.
You called him out.
I called him out. And then there's a guy like that in my book where I told this guy to sew his ass cheeks together. I used the same line from my fucking book. And I go, I'm going to sew those fucking ass cheeks together, bro. And he's like, oh, what? And I was like, I was behind you at the counter. And I was like, look, we've all been there. But I was like, this is a fucking 2.5 hour flight, man. You cannot be fucking just queefing your jeans right now. Cause I was in the line of fire and it was heat. Like my skin was hotter. Like it was visibly hotter. It was almost like somebody had pulled a lighter out
so
and walked by me.
Here's my question though. Like, let's switch roles. You're in that situation. Somebody calls you out. What is your immediate response to try and recover from not being a babbling idiot? Someone's like, yo, bro, zip that shit up.
I just like, you got it, bro. My bad.
No, I would look him right in the eyes and lean in close and be like, listen, I just want to spread my love to all of the world.
Because
at that point, you've just neutralized his fucking, courage to call you out.
Like, here's the thing. Normally, I would never call somebody out because we've all been there. Like, clearly, he had gone to, some fucking street meat.
Carrabba's.
Yeah.
He was at Carrabba's
the night before. He was eating three Caesar salads, extra anchovies, whatever the fuck was going on in his system. He was working out.
Oh shit.
And he comes on just having just Caesar farts, and I'm just
just it's a little moist too at each one.
Yeah, but I was for whatever reason it just
the
set
farts
me
you
off.
Have to wipe.
It just set me off, and I was just like, man, I can't. And I'm with my wife. She's got her headphones on. She's kind of looking at the thing, and I was like, that fucking guy just farted again. I can't take it. I'm not putting up with this the whole fucking flight. So to whoever that fat Filipino is out there, sew him up, bud. Sew him up.
Stay out of Carrabba's.
Yeah. Sew up your cheeks, you fat fuck. You Caesar farting fat fuck. And on that note, we're out of here, dude. I'm done.
Never,
I'm done
never,
for the night.
Never pretend to be a drinking bro either because you're going to get fucked up.
We started with an airplane story and ended with an airplane story.
That's a solid episode right there.
It is. Airplane sandwich. It is. So on that note, for Rocco, for TNT, Toddlers and Tiara Taylor, and Ross Patterson, we are out of here, everyone. Sew those ass cheeks shut, dude. Sew them shut.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.